For years, Howard Witt, the Southwest Bureau Chief of the Chicago Tribune, has kept the spotlight on the town of Paris, Texas, for a string of ugly, racially tinged incidents. Just a few weeks ago, a team of mediators with the Federal Justice Department were called in to lead a public meeting to resolve some of the acrimony. But now there's a pattern of racial hostility in Paris, Texas, including new tension at a local factory. Howard Witt joins us now. Welcome, Howard.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Let me combine two questions into one. I want to ask you to give us a little bit of background here because you broke the Shaquanda Cotton story in Paris, Texas, but also help us understand how race relations have deteriorated there.
Yeah, Paris is a town that's been having troubles for a couple years now. There was a case a couple years ago of a young black girl named Shaquanda Cotton. She was a 14-year-old girl who was pushed a hall monitor at her high school, and for that she was sentenced to up to 7 years in prison by a local judge. The same judge just a few weeks earlier had given a 14-year-old white girl a sentence of probation for the crime of arson for burning down a house. So the disparities in those sentences are what caused a lot of folks to kind of question what was going on in that town. Last year there was a case of a black man who was allegedly murdered. He was murdered. He was allegedly by two white companions who took him out in a truck and ran him over and dragged his body underneath the truck until it was basically dismembered. There's a lot of black folks in that town who believe it was a hate crime and would like to see it investigated as such. The two white suspects are awaiting trial on murder charges in that case. The Justice Department has sent a special team in to try to mediate disputes in that town. They had a meeting there last month, which pretty much erupted into yells and screams between blacks and whites. So that reconciliation effort didn't go so well. And then most recently, there was an incident at a local pipe-making factory called Turner Pipe, where some black employees allege that for many months now they've been complaining without success to their bosses about nooses and racist graffiti and Confederate flags and other offensive symbols that are festooned around the plant. And finally, one of these employees actually filed a formal complaint with the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, a week ago, in which he formally complained about this, and he had photos of all of these nooses and graffiti and such inside the plant. And so the plant officials, once that complaint was filed, said they were shocked by all of this, and they ordered it removed and claimed that they didn't know anything about it. But several of the black employees told me that, in fact, this has been a feature in that plant for many months.
Well, let me stop you there because you've given us a litany of things that are taking place. Let me ask you this. What is the basis of this? Is it just that black folks and white folks in Paris, Texas do not like each other? Is it a situation where tensions have been exacerbated by the economic conditions? What is it?
You know, I wish I had an answer for that. You know, in many ways, Paris is not that different than a lot of small towns around America, and not just in the South, I would say. You know, I mean, we have this problem in the North as well. Paris has a long history of you know, bitter racial relations. It was the site of several notorious lynchings at the Paris fairgrounds around the turn of the century in the late 1900s. So there's that history to contend with. There's also some real imbalances in the way power is structured in that town. Very few African Americans have any positions of electoral power in the town. So, and it's also located in East Texas, which is a region of the country that is very much deep south and very much, in a lot of critics say it's a place where the civil rights era kind of passed them by. So there's a history of tensions there. But it's not to say that everyone in that town is at odds. I mean, there's certainly a lot of folks, both black and white, of goodwill who wish that these problems didn't keep recurring. But there's also a lot of other folks who insist that there's no problems there. It's just outsiders who are stirring things up. And, they claim that if people would just leave Paris alone, then they could deal with their own problems. But
let me pursue that a little bit more with you, because what you have described is a petri dish of racial intolerance so far. But the question would be, how do you come out of that? How does this community heal itself and move together forward, if that's possible?
Yeah, I think the town is grappling with precisely that question, and the Justice Department is there to try to help them. They have this special unit of the Justice Department, which basically deals with community mediation. They went into Gino, Louisiana last year to try to help folks after the tensions there erupted. They do this routinely, and in Paris they've had several meetings, but like I say, the most recent one kind of ran off the rails because people were just kind of, you know, very emotional and hot-headed. I think that a lot of the hopes that they might be able to talk and tamp things down and, you know, have interactions led by church leaders and such, you know, there was hopes that was going to work until, again, last week this latest problem erupted at the pipe-making plant, which has kind of set things back again. So I don't know if anybody sees a path to you know, reconciliation at this point.
One of the things that we just heard from Mark Potok, the director of the Southern Poverty Law Center, was that hate crime organizations, the number of them is up significantly since the turn of the new millennium. Are you finding the presence of hate organizations in this area?
You know, there's not formal groups that kind of, you know, identify themselves. They don't have the problem of some other towns in the South where there's, like, you know, revived Klan groups and such. I'm aware of the SPLC's research and such. But it's more, I think it's less formal than that, but it's probably no less prevalent.
One other thing I'd like to ask you, because you're a person who has been writing about this and the photographs have been printed and seen around the country. The role of the media in covering this, does it make it better? Does it make it worse?
Well, I think that really depends on, you know, literally what skin you're in, you know. Many of the black folks in that town are very happy to see outside attention brought. They hope that scrutiny is going to force some changes down there. But by the same token, many of the white folks are just outraged, and they think that, you know, this is outsiders meddling in their affairs, and they ought to just get their nose out of their business. There was a local Methodist preacher the last time I was there a month ago who told me that I was no better than a Christ killer. But, you know, you just kind of have to have thick skin.
Howard, thank you very much.
Sure.
That was Howard Witt, the Southwest Bureau Chief of the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah. Believe it or not, what kept me alive?